I wish I were Jean-Luc Picard. I don't think it would be that hard to sip Earl Grey and save the day while boldly going through the stars. Or maybe I'd be Captain Mal, a shining six gun as my pal. Sexy, broken, full of jokes, even as things have gone to hell. Oh, I wish I were Starship Captain.
Please be warned, this is an explicit podcast. If you don't like it, you can go yourself. Hello, and welcome back to Geeks Explicitly. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Here on Geeks Explicitly, we discuss all things pertaining to geek life. This is episode 13 of the show, and I am delighted to tell you that on today's show, we're going to be talking about a new game out there for all of you fans. It is called Cube of Death. It's being put out by Studio 187 and designed by Mr. Peter Bryant, a.k.a. Blix. You might have heard of Blix because he's done a lot of stuff with the Tri-Tech Games podcast. I'm really appreciative that Blix has sent me this review copy of his game, Cube of Death. So we're going to be talking about that on today's show. But first, I want to just remind all of you that we love to have feedback here on the show. We'd love to hear from you, so you can get in touch with us by checking out our show notes. The show notes for this episode will be found at trollitc.com/GE13. That's right, this is lucky episode number 13. So you can go there and find out how to contact us and find out all about what was going on here on the episode. Of course, you can send us an email by sending one to geeksexplicitly@gmail.com, and I will get that, and you can bet that I will read your comments and get back to you. Who knows, maybe one of your pieces of feedback will appear here on the episodes coming forward. So, going back to Cube of Death, I wanted to get a little bit of drama in there for this. Cube of Death is a game that I first was introduced to when I went to TotalCon back in 2012, back in February, I think it was. I saw on the list of events something called Cube of Death. I thought, what the hell is Cube of Death? I didn't understand it. But I hung around with Mr. Ben Gerber, owner of TrollITC.com, and he ended up actually playing in it. It's a big trivia game, and Peter Bryant, a.k.a. Blix, ran the event. They kind of did it as this live recording, live episode sort of thing of the Tri-Tech Games podcast. And, you know, they had recorded it and videotaped it and everything. It was cool to watch it. You see the different people playing and trying to answer the trivia questions, but it's not your usual trivia kind of game. So what Cube of Death does is it takes trivia games and combines it with role-playing games. Now, if you wish to play the game, what you need is you need the game itself, of course. You need at least a single D6, something to write with, something to write on, and you need some other people to play. It's recommended that you play with teams, two teams of three people per team. But you can play with any number of people that you want. I would also suggest that you have someone who's going to be like the DM, be the host of the game. Because this person's going to read the questions, the trivia questions as they come up. And kind of keep track of scoring and all that sort of stuff. So that each player doesn't have to worry about figuring out what the score is. Now the goal of the game is to be on the winning team, of course. And you are the winning team if you take away all of the hit points away from your opposing team. The rules suggest that each team has 50 hit points, 50 life points. You can have any number of them you want. If you want a million hit points there, go for it. You're going to be playing a really long time. If you want a short game, 5 hit points or something. You know, whatever happens to be what fits your time requirements. But 50 hit points seems to be the way to go. Now, each player gets a player card, a character card. They are Berserker, you have a Healer, you have an Assassin, a Monk, a Ranger, and a Rogue. Each of these characters has a special ability. You can use the special ability once per game. If we're playing with two teams of two people each, right, there's only going to be two characters per team. So if I'm the, if I'm the monk, and I can say, oh, do you know what? I want to use my monk special ability, the multi-strike. Once per game, the player may do a double strike, which allows the team to get both questions off of a standard card. They will deliver 1d6 per correct question. That's pretty cool, huh? Each of these characters has a different special ability, and they come into play at different points during the game. You can figure out some strategy for how you want to do it and when the best time is to do what. Now let's back up just a little bit, because I want to kind of go over what the turn sequence is, so you get an idea of what this game is. And what it is each team will roll for initiative, and you do that by rolling a d6. The easiest way to do this is you take the d6, you roll, whoever has the highest value goes first. And hopefully you're going to have a DM doing this, a game master running the game, and they're going to write down, oh, team 1 got a 4, team 2 got a 1. That way they know that team 1 is always going first because they got the higher initiative roll, and team 2 is always going second because they got the lower initiative roll. You could do it where you roll initiative each turn, but I mean, that gets really confusing. A lot of things to keep track of. And if this is your first time playing the game, you really don't want to be dealing with that. It's just a lot of stuff to take into account. So I really recommend that you just roll the d6 once at the beginning of the game and see who has what for initiative. Now let's pretend that team 1 won initiative, right? So their first turn starts, and what they do is they're going to go ahead and they draw a card out of the deck. This deck is composed of some trivia cards, and it's also composed of wandering monsters. More on those later, though. Now, trivia cards, there's a few different types of trivia cards. You have a standard trivia card, and they have two different categories on them. Now, how this works is, team 1 gets the card, so me as game master draws the card and says, sci-fi, oh, I'm sorry, that's a bad example. You would have thought that I would have put my piles of cards where I wanted them. I, of course, drew out some of the material that I wanted to talk about in the game. So, me as DM gets the card, and I go draw the first one off the top, and I go, science and technology or animation? And what those are the two different categories. The regular cards, the standard cards, have two categories on there, and each category has one question. So the team then picks which category they want to have the question for. And let's say team 1 goes, okay, animation, I like animation. Then I, as DM, say, here's your question. What planet do the Thundercats come from? And the team has however long you want to give them. You want to give them 30 seconds. You want to pull out a stopwatch. You want to say you got a minute. You know, whatever seems reasonable, whatever. And when the time is up, the team provides the answer to the question. Now, maybe some of you listeners know the answer to this. And for those of you who don't, I'm going to give it to you right now. The answer to the question, what planet do the Thundercats come from, is Thundera. Thundera. Now, let's pretend Team 1 got it correct. So then they're going to roll a d6, and what they will do is they roll, and they got off 3. That means they did 3 points of damage to Team 2. So Team 2 drops from 50 hit points down by 3 to 47. Now it is Team 2's turn, right? So they get a card drawn for them, and they happen to get a special type of card called Double Damage. And it's a trivia card, but what it has is a single question on the card. Now, the question is asked of the team, and the team has to answer the question. If they answer it correctly, they roll a single d6 to do damage to the other team. Then, and only if they got that first question correct, they are asked a second question, which is harder. It's a lot more difficult. And if they get that question correct, they do double the amount of damage that they rolled on the first question. I know, that's a little confusing, right? A little hard to follow. So, Team 2 gets a card drawn, and I read it to them. Category is sci-fi, and the question is, what is like, having your brain smashed out by a slice of lemon wrapped around a large gold brick? And the team, she's thinking, and they're thinking, oh, I don't know. Let me think. Oh, do you know what it is, Bob? I don't know, Fred. Tim, do you know what the answer is? I do, Bob. It is this. So after a reasonable amount of time goes around, they say the Pan-Galactic Gargle Blaster. And I would go, correct, in my really cheesy game show host voice. You were correct. Come on down. So then they roll their D6 and they go, oh, we only got 1 point. We rolled a 1. So that means they do 1 point of damage to team 1. So team 1 drops from 50 to 49 hit points. And then now I would say, okay, you got the first question correct. Now you can get double damage. And for the double damage question, I would say, who invented the Pan-Galactic Gargle Blaster? And they think about it again, and they go, let me think about this. Do I know? Well, I think I know. So they say, we know. And they answer, Zaphod Beeblebrox. And I go, correct again. So then they would do 2 points of damage because they had rolled a 1, and they're going to double that up. So they do 2 points for the second question, 1 point for the first question, and do a total of 3 points of damage to the first team. You can see how if you roll really well, and if you answer both questions correctly, you could do a lot of damage. Just imagine if you rolled a 6 for the first one. You got it correct. You rolled that 6. Then you answer the second question correctly, and you had rolled the 6 the first time, so you're doing 12 points of damage plus the first 6 means you did 18 points of damage for the first question or whatever the question this happens to be. That's pretty sweet. So then we go on, and it's Team 1's turn, and they happen to get a different type of card because this is a really interesting game we're having here where they just happen to randomly get different types of cards. So that allows me to talk about each of the card types. Weird, isn't it? So they get what's called a volley type of card. And a volley card means that the team has to pick a single team member to respond to the question. And the question has 6 answers to it. The answers tend to be a list, but they don't have to be. So, for example, we're going to say that they happen to get this one drawn for them. The category is classic board games. And the question is, name the 6 characters from the original American version of the board game Clue. So the Bobby from Team 1, I don't even remember what names I gave to the people, but Bobby from Team 1 is like, the 6 characters from Clue, original Clue, is that different from other Clue, American Clue, different from non-American Clue? Let me think. Okay, so you got you got Colonel Mustard, right? Because he goes with ketchup, and he's really cool. So Colonel Mustard, and you get Professor Plum, and Miss Scarlet, because you know she's there, and so that's 3. And who else do I get? Meanwhile, as he's listing each answer, and if they're correct, he gets 1 point of damage inflicted on the other team. So he goes, okay, I got Colonel Mustard, that's 1 point. I got Professor Plum is 2. Miss Scarlet is 3. And, Mrs. White, that's 4. And I don't know, I don't have any more. So he did 4 points of damage to Team 2. And then the damage stops as soon as he answered incorrectly. So as soon as he got that 4th one and he didn't know any more, no more damage. So, you know, 4 points to Team 2, not too bad. But that still means he left off Mr. Green and Mrs. Peacock. And there's a few of these type of cards in the deck. Most of them, however, are the standard trivia questions, the ones that have 2 categories. So the ones where you go, pulp era or sci-fi or whatever the case happens to be. Now let's pretend that it's Team 2's turn and I draw a card for them. Uh-oh, it's a wandering monster. I'm going to use one particular wandering monster because this is going to be something I'll talk about in a few minutes where I talk about a problem that I have with the game. So I draw a wandering monster. Now with wandering monsters, what happens is the team gets to battle this malicious creature. And the way they battle it is by answering a question. They get the question correctly, they kill the monster and get whatever treasure the monster has. If they get it wrong, the monster does D6 damage to them. So in this case, the question is, the Event Horizon was built to test what? And Team 2 is like, Event Horizon. Oh, right, that's the movie, Event Horizon. Let me think. So they're thinking it over and thinking it over. And finally they say, I know, I got it. The whole team can answer this. I know the answer. An experimental gravity drive. And I go, you are correct. So then they would get whatever the treasure is on this card. And the treasure happens to be a phase rifle that does +3 damage on a single attack. So they get the card to show that they have a phase rifle that they can use. So that, like, next time they have to do damage to their opposing team and they're rolling, say they roll a 1, they could be like, we're going to use that phase rifle and bump that 1 up to make it 4 because it's adding 3 to the 1. Or maybe they got a 6, right? And they say, oh, we got a 6. We're going to do lots of damage to you. So we're using a phase rifle, which means we did 9 points of damage to you. You're thinking, that's not bad, right? Now, it could be really handy if you're near the end of the game and you get this phase rifle and your opposing team has, 6 points of life left, 6 hit points left. You go, whack, I got my phase rifle. I rolled a 3, which means I did 6 points of damage and you're dead. Really cool. Now, you keep on going back and forth with the teams taking turns, drawing the trivia cards, playing character cards, as the case may be, to do different things. There's like a healer card that allows you once per game for the player to heal the party D6 hit points. So if your team's getting really beat up and you're the healer, you can go, okay, I'm going to use my healing ability. I roll a D6 and oh look, I got a 3. So I healed 3 hit points to us. Help us stay in the game a little bit longer. And there's all sorts of different character cards. Remember, each player only has one. You can do the abilities once per game. So you got to think carefully about when to use them, what ability to use, what team member is going to do what. Some of them are defensive abilities, some of them are offensive abilities. The game ends whenever a team gets to 0 hit points, and that's that. You could do this like a tournament, kind of like was done at Total Con, where teams battle against each other. The team that wins moves on to the next round, and so forth and so forth. Now, there will be some additions to the game called booster decks. They will have new questions, new treasures, and 2 new classes per deck. Don't know when they're going to be coming out. Don't know price points on them yet. Now, speaking of price points, the game is $19.99. You can buy it via the Game Crafter. We'll have a link to that in the show notes. Don't forget, trollitc.com/GE13 will be the way you get to the show notes, but the game costs $19.99. Now, I want to talk about a problem I have with the game. And this is one I mentioned to Blix, a game designer, and he said he was going to take care of it. I'm guessing it's fixed by now. This is a review copy that I'm using. He sent me this review copy, and we'll get to that in a second, actually. But I noticed that there are 2 wandering monsters in the deck. They look different. They have different treasure, but they have the exact same question. Now, there's 1. The Event Horizon was built to test what? Answer, as we know, an experimental gravity drive. And then this one wandering monster gives you a +3 damage phase rifle. And then there's another wandering monster. The Event Horizon was built to test what? Again, experimental gravity drive, right? And his treasure is med pack. You heal 3 points of damage. So it was a little duplicity there. I think it needs a different question. Doesn't matter which one gets a different question. But, they need a different question. And I believe Blix is taking care of that if he hasn't already. Now, the other thing is that when Blix had first made the game and had it ready to be sent out and stuff, he didn't realize that the Game Crafter system... sorry about that noise. The Game Crafter system worked a little differently in that he had to tell the system to include a copy of the rules with the game. So I got, in the mail, my little deck box, which is really cool. And I came with all the cards, and I was like, how do I play? There's no rules in here. And he's like, oh, oops. So he sent me a PDF of the rules. You can download the rules for free from the GameCrafter website. Again, we'll have a link to that in our show notes. It's a two-page PDF. You can print it, you know, on one piece of paper back and front. You can print it multiple pages, whatever. It's in color. I printed out black and white. You don't need the color. It looks good. The color is great. It kind of makes you feel like it's an old piece of papyrus or, you know, leather or vellum or something. Just really cool. The rules are clearly written. They're succinct. You can jump right in. I like that they separate it out into a little section. What you need to start. You need the starter deck. You need any expansion decks that happen to come out later down the road. You need at least a single D6, something to write with, something to write on. You need that kind of stuff. You need the rules, of course, and it's really simple. On the back of the rules, they mention all these different special abilities for each of the classes that you have. Same information is on the cards. They describe what the different types of cards are and how to play and about the hit points and stuff. It's very straightforward. The game has high production quality to it. The cards feel nice and sturdy. They are full color. Great artwork on the cards. I really like the artwork. It's high quality artwork that you would find in a nice RPG, you know, in a good rule book or whatever. The cards are nice photographic finish. They feel nice in your hands. Easy to shuffle. They're easy to move around. The questions are easy to read. The print's easy to see. It's really easy to use. The game box that they come in, the deck box, it's a pretty colored deck box, has the logo for the game on the front. It tells you it's a starter deck. On the bottom has the logo for Studio 187, who is the makers of the game. And in the back, it tells you a little bit about it. It says, Cube of Death is a fun-filled geek pop culture trivia game. Go head-to-head and pit your skills against your opponents. Get a question right and roll damage against the other team. First one out of hits, loses. It's a card game. It's an RPG. No, it's Cube of Death. So, it's really cool, and in line with how I first encountered this, it's a game that you definitely would want to play at a tournament, if you're out at a convention. It's a way to have some fun. Play with friends at home. You can play with any number of people. I think this works best, really, with two teams of three people per team, plus some sort of game master to kind of run things. It's a fun game. My only main quibble with it is that it's $19.99. And I know you might think, oh, it's $20. It's not bad, right? But you got to pay the $20. You got to pay the shipping. And then the stuff is good quality, but I think it would be better priced at something like $14.99, $12.99. A little bit lower. It reminds me a little bit of the type of game that you might play at a con, such as playing the zombie dice game, right? And zombie dice cost $13.13. The reason why I know is that's a really odd number. I think maybe $12.99, $13.99, $14.99, I wouldn't go above $15. But, you know, somewhere in that range, I think, is a better place to be for Cube of Death. So I'm not totally in love with the price. It's not awful. And, you know, you pay maybe about that sort of price for other types of card games like Gloom or stuff like that. So there is precedent. I just think it would be a little bit better to have the price a little lower. All in all, love the game. Think it's fantastic. And if I didn't get it as a review copy, I would have bought a copy anyway. So please check out Cube of Death. And I think you will be very pleased by it. I want to thank Peter Bryant, a.k.a. Blix, one more time for sending me this review copy. I really appreciate receiving this. Had a lot of fun playtesting it, reading the rules, talking about it. I strongly, strongly suggest that you get a copy of it. It's $19.99. You can get it at the Game Crafter. We will have a link to this in our show notes. Head on over to trollitc.com/GE13, and you'll find all the show notes for this episode. You also find a link to the rules that I will have up there, so you can just kind of download and take a peek at them. And I'll have all sorts of information about the game. We will, of course, be back next week with another episode of Geeks Explicitly. And I hope you take some time to check out the other shows on the network. And don't forget, there'll be another episode of Wargaming Recon, my other show, coming out not too far down the road. So thank you again, guys. Here at Geeks Explicitly, we love feedback. You can email us at geeksexplicitly@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Please check us out online by going to www.trollitc.com/geekspodcast. This show is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. If you enjoy this show, you might like some of the other podcasts on the network. Every Wednesday is a new episode of Indie Talks with Troll ITC owner Ben Gerber. Ben chats with people involved with indie games, movies, and much more. Every Thursday is a new episode of Geeks Explicitly, hosted by yours truly. All aspects of geek life are discussed. Wargaming Recon comes to you on the second and fourth Mondays of the month. I chat about historical and New England gaming. Monsters of the Shattered World, hosted by Troll ITC editor Brent Newhall, releases monthly. This story podcast details the adventures of a young scholar encountering strange monsters on a foreign planet. To learn more about the shows on TCPN, visit www.trollitc.com/TCPN. What is Wargaming Recon?
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
3,000 miles from home, an American army is fighting for you.
We today have concluded an agreement to end the war and bring peace with honor in Vietnam.
The world will note that the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, a military base.
Historical Wargaming for your ears, only at wargamingforums.com.
Oh, the humanity.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.